Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us today. You could have been anywhere, but I'm glad you decided to be here. I'm Tiffany Bacon, and this is Marriage Beyond the Vows. Today, we are talking about where did the money go? Oh, my goodness. I'm sure that that is a stickler, a difficult point of contention between couples, and we are going to be discussing that and how to manage that today during the program. Also joining me, we have Paul and Kenita Smalls. Welcome back, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
I know we always like to start the program off with a word of prayer and a scripture. Let's go do it.
Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can be here this morning. We do pray that your spirit will lead the airwaves, and that the people that call in today will get their needs met, and that you will be in control of all things like you are. My prayer is that people's lives will change, that their hearts will be softer, and that ultimately they'll come to worship you, to know you, to believe in you, and to walk with you daily. We pray that you will impact them with the scriptures and with our lives, and with everything that goes on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things, and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget the numbers to call in if you have a question or a comment about our topic today. In Philadelphia, 215-263-1039, or Charlotte, 1-877-995-7644. All right. Paul and Kenita.
Yes, I want to start off with a scripture. It's in Hebrews 13:5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And today we're talking about how to not be deceitful in our spending, how to not be compulsive in shopping, and how to not make bad financial decisions because they can ruin your life. Basically being married to a shopaholic. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions that I actually wanted to actually just put out there is, have you ever made a purchase that left you feeling guilty?
Mm.
Have you ever hidden from your spouse something that you've purchased because you know that it will cause friction between the two of you? Do you avoid accountability to your spouse or spiritual advisors about your spending habits? And does your desire to overspend keep you from meeting financial commitments and obligations to creditors, the church, the poor, and anyone else that makes contact with you? And everybody knows Christmas is coming up in the next couple of weeks, next 2 weeks, week and a half, and money's on our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us are stretching our finances to the limit, and we're trying to fulfill wants and needs for our loved ones and those who are even less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And usually during this time of the year, most of us are robbing Peter really to pay Paul, and even dipping into Matthew's account a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And these are not necessarily the signs of a shopaholic, but the behaviors that we want to talk about today that go far beyond the behaviors that I just mentioned, because there are patterns of spending money that become compulsion and lead to deceit, overwhelming debt, and other sins, which when they're left unchecked, it can really lead to a divorce in your marriage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning, that's what we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, according to Joni McCoy, who's the author of the books Miserly Moms and Frugal Families, this person says the signs and symptoms of compulsion shopping are the following. Shopping or spending money as a result of being disappointed, angry, or scared.
Mm-hmm.
Spending habits that cause emotional distress or chaos in one's life. Arguing with others regarding shopping or spending habits. Feeling lost without credit cards.
Mm.
buying items on credit that would not be bought with cash, feeling a rush or euphoria and anxiety at the same time when spending money, feeling that spending or shopping is a reckless or forbidden act, feeling guilty, ashamed, embarrassed, or confused after shopping or spending money, having many purchases that are never used, lying to others about what was bought or how much money was spent. These are some of the signs and symptoms of compulsion shopping. And at this time, my wife is going to share.
Well, it's funny because I could check off a few, so I wonder how many of those you have to qualify for to be a shopaholic.
Right.
But one thing in doing research with different websites and just people we've talked to and worked with, you know, American culture really does accept shopping as a pastime. Like you think about Black Friday and, you know, we've made a day of it. Get up at 4 a.m., go shop till 10, go to breakfast, go back again. And, you know, I myself have found myself, you know, oh, I have some time to kill. Let me go walk around the mall. Let me go through Target. Let me, you know,
right.
Even the 99-cent store, you know, it can become a sense of, like it says here, euphoria. And so, you know, with our economy where it is, with and then double with the holiday season, a time to shop, it's just a very timely topic to talk about. As we know, the divorce rate is high. It actually, though, is down. They say during this time of the recession, it's come down from about 50% to 43%. So these financial crunches are forcing people to make decisions that are making them work together and stay together. So in that, we see that finances are tied to the marriage. But at this time, I think what's important and why we want to talk about it is, you know, when you're trying to make choices, you know, I know we were talking earlier, it's hard to say no. It's right. hard to say no to so many demands, so many wants, so many needs. And if we don't have clear why we spend money, what we do with our money, then we respond out of a lot of guilt and we make a lot of poor choices. And I know for me, when I've done that, trying to play catch up then will frustrate me. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to break out. Okay, you know, I deserve whatever. And it's a cycle. It begins to be a cycle. And so this morning, we just want to talk about it. We want to hear what your experiences have been, be able to help each other, and be able to set our minds towards the new year to make changes that will help us not to fall into these hurtful patterns.
Right.
Because truly, it is documented that finances is actually only second to lack of communication for why couples get divorced. And so it's going on in Christian households, non-Christian households, and everything in between.
Right.
And we want, you know, one of the statistics we were reading about talks about how people are more willing to talk to you about their sex life before they're willing to talk to you about their money.
And what is that about? Why?
I just, you know, I think that it is so connected. I mean, you look at the scriptures. The Bible is full of scriptures about money. And I think it's one of those things that we have a hard time connecting to our heart issues. You know, we don't really get it. You know, Jesus says, you know, you can't serve both God and money. So it's probably the number one contender with God for our heart's attention. And so I think it's the one we're most deceived about. So, you know, and so other things, whether, you know, our sex lives or whatever it could be, we're like, yeah, I could see how that'll be a problem in my marriage. But when it comes to money, it's such a contender for our love and affection, our security, all the things that God wants to be for us, that I just think that's where we're the most deceived.
All right. We'd like to hear from you. What are your comments or even your questions on our topic today? Where did the money go? Call us at 215-263-1039. Also, you can reach us at 1-877-995-7644. That is for our listeners in Charlotte. And good morning to you in Charlotte. Paul and Kenita, let me ask you, what is the toughest thing you guys have had to deal with regarding money, overspending? Oops, did I do that? Is that bill really $500? Ouch.
Well, from my perspective, it's going to be a little bit different because I give $5 shopping allowance a week.
15.
No, it's gone up. It was five about a couple years ago. Now it's like $15, $20 a week for spending.
Wow.
And so, because I wasn't good at finances going into the marriage, so my wife figured out how she could be in charge of the finances. And so...
Wow.
I have to keep my eye on her to make sure she's not outspending. And for some reason, I'll call during the day just to check on her to see how she's doing. And she'll say, honey, I'm in the store right now. There's some boots on sale. And I'm like, well, how much are the boots? And she's, they're on sale.
Wait, he don't understand.
I asked you how much the boots were, not
how much
on sale. And she said, well, I got a great deal. I said, if I wanted to talk to Bill Clinton and marry Bill Clinton, I would have done that a long time ago. I said, I need Kenita.
See, he doesn't understand the value and the discount. You know, you got to set them up for it.
Yes, you know, ladies in shoes, ladies in boots in particular. Yeah, so it is transportation.
It's
true. You spend a good amount on transportation.
So she'll throw that Bill Clinton swagger when I'm trying to find out the facts about what's going on with the shopping. I'll just be up front and tell me what's going on.
Unbelievable.
Bottom line, the man wants to know the bottom line. How much was it? That's all I want to know. Because I got my $20 of spending money.
So where's the rest?
Exactly.
Exactly. I guess, you know, I'm not married, so I could say I feel you, Kenita, on the boot thing. You know, when you see that real good pair of boots and they're on sale, you have a hard time passing it up, even though you'll play Russian roulette with your bills at the time. Just put something and maybe something will happen. Yay, great. All right.
So to answer your question,
yes.
How do we deal with it? We communicate.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So the rule is, nobody spends any money unless we're talking.
Mm. Right.
And if you do spend something, you better confess it.
There it is. Have you had that situation in your marriage? Have you gone off and spent a whole bunch of money and then worried about how you were going to account for it? And has it caused a major rift in the relationship? Have you been able to overcome it? Are you looking for advice on how to overcome it? Is that your life right now? We invite you to call 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have Ike calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You are live on the air.
How you doing? This is Ike.
Hi, Ike.
How y'all doing this morning? God bless.
God bless you. We're doing fine. Thank you so much. What's your comment or question?
All right, my comment is, I think there are a lot of times in life, period, we don't really resort to what the Word of God says about money. Not just, you know, money being the root of all evil. It's just the fact that even in our younger generation, you know, this is a culture that they're developing, and it's really outside the will of God the way people spend, because we're blessed with money to bless others. And, you know, if you allow God, if you pray and allow God to do with us, you know, what you're supposed to do with your funds, things will be a lot better. People don't tithe first. You know, they tend to, instead of paying God first, you know, they rob him, and then we do things. And that's a lot of the culture that we've adapted here. And we teach our young people shop, shop, shop. So when they do get married, they don't want somebody telling them how to spend their money, or they want to marry a particular person so they can have these means to do other things. And that's the culture that we do. Even in our churches, it's not enough financial ministry going on where people are teaching you, listen, you have money, you know, God blesses you. He supplies all your needs. A lot of the things that you want are not what you actually need. You know, you want a new pair of boots, but you don't really need them. And, you know, and then you find women with 100 pair of shoes and they're in debt. You know, we object ourselves to the society of debt, and then we complain about it. And then we spend our time, like you said, robbing Peter to pay Paul, robbing God.
Right. Ike, thank you so much for your call this morning. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for listening to us today.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Also, if we have any information for those who are deep in debt on Debtors Anonymous, just because if you're in the process of preparing for marriage, and that could really be a stress point if neither of you own a home and there's an enormous amount of debt. It could make it difficult for you to buy a home if you don't want to continue to rent. Can we talk about that?
Yes, we can. We actually have some resources here One is called frugalliving.com. And this gives information on compulsive shopping and dealing with the temptation it comes with. Also, one thing I will say, one of the most, when we first got married, you know, I grew up with a single mom, so I knew how to make it. And I knew how to, you know, I had a very deep conviction about paying my bills. And so we had to get out of some debt that came into the marriage. But and we were very aggressive with it. One of the most helpful things I found was sometimes your bank, especially now with the economy being the way it is, your banks will provide debt consolidation advice or financial advice.
Okay.
And so that's one resource. Oftentimes, credit unions have very good programs like that.
Okay.
We had gotten that help. Another one, though, Columbia University's has a site. It's goaskalice.columbia.edu. And, you know, one of the things we have to see is using shopping as an outlet is no different than using anything else, be it drugs, alcohol, food, whatever, you know, our addictions can be. It's just another way that we deal with the feelings and emotions we should be taking to God.
Right.
And so another's is Debtors Anonymous, which is Debtors Anonymous, debtors with the S at the end, anonymous with the S at the end, Debtors Anonymous, all one word, .org. And that has a debt quiz, which will help you to see if this is really an issue for you or not.
Oh, wow.
Another one is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, CC.org, NFCC.org. Miserly Moms, which we quoted one of the author of earlier, is has a website. It's called miserlymoms.com. It has money-saving tips, information on budgeting and debt support groups. And another one is stoppingovershopping.com.
Stopping over shopping. Okay, that's pretty cute.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
All right, interesting. Today we are talking about where did the money go in your relationship. If you are having money difficulties, financial difficulties, and you're trying to figure out what happened, what went wrong? Is it causing arguments? Has it caused a breakup? Many, many times it can actually be the root of a breakup, a separation. Have you gone through it? Have you succumbed to that? Are you a victim of being a shopaholic that's causing some issues in your relationship? We would like to hear your stories. And if you have any questions about maybe how to dig yourself out of this financial hole that you might find yourself in, this would be a good time to call. 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. We'd like to hear from you, so make sure you give us a call. But we're going to take a pause for the cause, and we will be back with more Marriage Beyond the Vows right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thank you again for joining us, and welcome back to the program. Today we are talking about where did the money go? How the overspending can overextend your relationship, causing problems that you may take a little while to resolve. And we're here to talk about solutions. Yes, mention your problems. We have Paul and Kenita Smalls in the studio here to guide you through whatever issues you may have. But we also want to focus on the solutions and not just the problem. So call in with your comments, your questions, 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644, rather. Paul and Kenita, we have Gerald on the line from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Fantastic. What's your comment or question?
Well, I have a question for you guys. You know, try to help me with to help a friend here. Every time he gets paid, he always owes so much money out, but he spends his money before he gets his check. And he always asks me to help him out, but it's almost like we're going backwards here, you know? How do you help a person like that? You know, one time I get him caught up, And he got a beautiful family, but he just don't know how to manage his money. I asked him, where'd it go? He's saying bills. And he'll tell me this here. He'll say, well, the Lord will work it out. I say, he is working it out. I'm trying to help you manage your money, but you're always making bad choices. So how do you help this person?
Okay, good question. Lady and gentlemen, what do you have to say about that?
Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning.
I think one thing I would talk to him about, if he's saying the Lord's going to help me out, I would read him some scriptures so he can get helped out. Like, for example, Proverbs 17:16 says, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? And a lot of times, the scriptures, when you read them directly to a friend, they really do convict you. And conviction promotes change from the Word of God. Because they can listen to us all day, but there's something about the Word that stings a man's heart or a woman's heart and inspires them to change. So I would give him that scripture, and I'd also give him this other scripture, which is Proverbs 13:11. It says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. It sounds like this is a man who's not responsible with money. So what I would do is find someone who can, he can actually sit down with, that could come up with a budget for him.
I come up with a budget. I mean, I didn't want to get in all his finance, but I said, hey, you know, somebody you need to talk to manage your money, because maybe your wife can help you do it. He said, she spends much as he do. I said, well, one time I just said, well, maybe y'all don't need to be together.
That wasn't a good All right, Gerald, I hope we were able to help you this morning. Thank you so much for calling in, and really thank you for listening to us today.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a great one. Bye-bye. We have Roxanne calling in from the Garden State, New Jersey. Hi, you're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my comment is on money. One of the things that I found out is that when we budget, and we budget right and ask God for guidance, it's able to help. Because earlier in this year, I had such a hard time with my finance. And I came to realize that it wasn't the amount of money that I was getting that was coming into the house that was causing my problem, was the way I was spending what was coming into the house. And then I had to realize that I could not spend the way I was spending, and I started to ask God for guidance. And the first thing I had to realize that I had to do was pay my tithes and my offering, even if the money was a little bit. And then I started asking God for guidance, and one of the things that I learned is that if when I budget, I got a pen and paper from the month of June till now, and I can tell anybody that you get a pen and paper and you write down the things that you need, not the things that you want, and you try to work with your needs, and you try to use it wisely, and God is going to be able to guide you through every step. And in this new year coming, I find that I'm going to go into the new year, and my bills are up to date, which is being paid from month to month, because I try to prioritize everything. And this morning, I just want to share that with people out there to know that it's not the amount of money, but it's how we use what we're getting, how we spend it, that make the difference in our lives and in our marriages.
All right. Awesome. Paul and Kenita, what do you have to say to Roxanne about that?
I was thinking, I appreciate that, Roxanne. Ike also earlier called in and made this comment, and I did want to comment on it that, especially as Christians, it's true. I've talked to people before that say, well, I can't give my tithe because, and I appreciate what Roxanne just said, as well as Ike earlier. I didn't get to comment that, It isn't God's fault that we got into debt, or, you know, it's not God's fault that we mismanaged our money. And to stop giving to God first is the wrong way to go about it. And because the scripture Paul just read about money in the hands of a fool, like you, Roxanne, I had to say, you know, okay, well, what am I doing with the money I have? And it was very convicting. My husband made us a spreadsheet, and we put it all down, and we saw that we really should be saving more than we were. But at the end of the day, it's about learning the lesson. And the gentleman, the caller before, commented about his friend who he would help get current and then he'd fall back in. And that's exactly what the problem is that you have to change.
Right. When you look at money. And I think God had brought me to a low point in my life financially where I was borrowing money from the payday loans, and then it was like I was digging a hole and filling a hole. And then I said, and then I started to cry out to him. I said, what am I really doing?
Right.
And and eventually started to show me exactly what I was doing that was wrong. And I had to start to budget my whole life completely, started all over. And with that, when the money's a little bit, I would say to him, I said, Lord, you know, I have all these bills to pay, but I'm going to pay my tithes and my offering first. And once I did that, he then would inspire me on exactly, well, this is what you're going to do first. You're going to pay these first, and then you're going to pay these on the next time. And I started to write down everything. So when I write it down, I can go back now, and then I can look at it and see what I didn't get paid the previous month and what I can pay the other month. And with that theory, it brought me to a place now where my bills, I have no backdated bills. All my bills, my car, my land, everything is being paid month after month. As fast as it come in, I paid that first. And then I think about food afterwards, you know, but I make sure that the bills. And one of the things that I realized is that if you can lower some of the expense that you have, like, for instance, your electricity, if you don't need to use the light, you don't need the lights on. So if you can work at getting some of your expenses, you know, carried on a little bit, it's able to accomplish another part in your life that you can pay another expense that you may have. And, you know, I have a husband and six children, and I'm telling you, we just did it. And this morning, I'm really happy to share it and, you know, and to give God thanks most of all, because I don't think without his guidance, I could not have done this.
Fantastic. Roxanne, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm sure you were very inspirational to someone who's like, oh, my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. But thank you so much for listening to us today.
Thank you. And you got a very good program. Keep it up. We need programs like these in our lives, especially as Christians.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you again.
Thank you, too.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Paul and Kenita, we have Jackie on the line from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Breathing on schedule. Thank you much. What's your comment?
Good. I have a comment on young people who that wind up getting married. They need to actually, before they get married, discuss with their a partner about their financial situations. Because my daughter, this was her first marriage. And she wound up getting married, and her husband convinced her to file jointly with him. And he had a lot of student loans. And when they filed jointly, they took all of her income tax. And she had to turn around, and I explained to her, I sent her to my tax preparer, that, and he told her that she could file married but injured. So it's a lot of young people out here that don't know this, and I would like to let them know that if you get into a situation like that, it is a revenue for you to come out of it, because it had definitely crippled her when she found this out. She was looking forward to her income tax refund, and then they had snatched it up because of her husband's student loans. And he knew of this, but he wasn't honest enough with her to let her know. So I encourage every young couple, even older couples, to check into your financial status of your partners before you do that legal bit. Because it's very crushing when you find things out like this, and it had devastated my daughter.
Jackie, hold on one second. Paul and Kenita, what do you have to say about that?
My wife is going to speak
time.
It's all about being real.
I'm sorry, but we had the exact same thing happen.
Wow.
When we first got married, everyone was like, yeah, when you first get married, you get this big, huge tax return. And we were so excited. And my husband, bless his heart, he was great at a lot of things, but finances wasn't one. And we got our first tax return. We were supposed to get $6,000 back. And I'm like, well, and we ended up getting, I think, less than half because his student loans were had been defaulted. He didn't know. I mean, bless it. Like I said, it wasn't even a deceit thing. He just flat was clueless. And so I'm like, well, what happened to the money? And but one thing I will say is at the end of the day, it has made us stronger. Mm-hmm. And I do think that is so true. You have to talk about money. And that, you know, we can talk about that more later. But I think at the end of the day, don't give up on being unified in your finances. And I do see couples that let that keep them from working together at it. And you cannot become two separate people in your finances. Now, whether you choose to keep separate accounts or however you do it, you must be unified, because if the two truly are one, that does include your money. Mm-hmm. And it really can lead to a lot of deceit. We've talked to couples where, you know, one was living a separate life.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the finances are separate. There's no communication about it. Like I said, it is the number one contender for our heart. Mm-hmm. And so we have to not become resentful, but find solutions. And my husband did. He was like, you know, you do the finances. I think now we're at a point where I would like him to do them. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's okay to change who does what, but stay unified to some extent.
All right. Thank you so much for your comment.
So
and thank
much.
You for
I
listening.
I appreciate the program. God bless you and have a good day.
All right. You do the same.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. Today we're talking about, where did the money go? How money can do damage to the relationship if it is not kept under control. The overspending, the hiding the spending, things of that nature. If you have a story, a comment, or a question, we invite you to call us 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We're saying hello to our friends in Charlotte. We thank you for listening to us this Saturday morning. Let's go back to the phones. We have Rhonda calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fine. Thank you much. How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome.
I just wanted to comment on the topic today.
Yes, ma'am.
Where did the money go?
Yes.
Well, as for my husband and myself, when we first met, money was a big issue. He was used to going in the Pep Boys for motor oil and come out with a motorcycle, that type of thing, big ticket
wow.
items with, like, no thought.
Wow.
So one time we were getting a DVD from out of Walmart, and while I'm in line, because the line was long, waiting for him to come back with DVD, he come with a flat screen and the rack.
Oh, wow.
And already paid for it in the back.
Oh, wow.
So that was a problem for us, and as we began to pray together and he learned how important the finances was and we wasn't being good stewards over what God has given us, things begin to change.
Mm.
I just wanted to comment on someone who said something about the tithe. You can't afford to pay it, or sometimes there's nothing left. You can't afford not to pay your tithe. I believe when you pay your tithe first, God removes the devourer. He puts you in line to be blessed. His word said, prove me this day.
Mm.
So he wants you to so much test him. So if you do what God says to do as it relates to your finances, things work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I've learned to do, since I'm the better one with the money, I involve him. When I'm writing checks and paying bills, or when I'm online looking at the account, sometimes I tell him to go online and see what's been spent so that he can see where the money goes and it's not as long as what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Men has this horrible conception that money goes a long way. That's what I believe. So that's some of our things we do. We look at the accounts together. We discuss everything we spend on the account. If it was $20, we say, oh, yeah, I took $20 out the account today.
Mm-hmm.
So as much communication as you can have about your finances and then giving God his first, then I believe that, you know, that will start to make a way in your finances.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, we thank you so much for that comment. Fallen Kennedy, what do you have to say?
Well, I wanted to comment on Rhonda's point. Even though I did the finances, our financial situation got better when I included Paul, and
okay.
She's right. I think I'm the type, you know, we'll pay all the bills. I remember our first bill-paying session, mm-hmm. and I was like, honey, aren't you happy all the bills are paid? And, you know, and he was just not happy.
No, I was not happy.
He's like, no, I'm not happy.
I was like, you're taking my money.
Right.
But the point is, I have had to learn that I can't just put us at zero all the time, because then you don't go ahead either. You have to have some flex.
Exactly.
And I had to learn to include his set of eyes. And sometimes he was like, well, why don't you pay half now and half later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas my mindset is I just want to pay it and check my mm-hmm. box off. But that wasn't getting us ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to emphasize that we have to include the other spouse, even if that's not their strength. We need another set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
you know, that has really helped me and us collectively.
And also another caller stated something about getting rid of those things we don't need. We got rid of all them Mac premium channels on cable. You don't need all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Really, you should spend time binding, playing games, doing family things. Mm-hmm. So that's what we begin to do. Instead of me going to the hairdresser every 2 weeks, I go every 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that also saves, you know, some money. We start just chopping away at some of the things. We didn't need those large plans that we got on our cell phone because if we with the same provider, we talk for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we begin to take away some of them things that we just don't look at or pay any mind.
Fantastic. Rhonda, you've given us a lot of wisdom today. We thank you for sharing, and
thank you
for listening today.
Have a blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Okay, we have from Downingtown, Pennsylvania, John is on the line. Good morning. You're live on the air. Hey, John.
Hello there.
How are you?
Well, I'm getting along with my day.
All right. Fantastic. Glad to hear that. What's your comment or question?
No, it's definitely a comment. It's for those males out there who have been, shall we say, pulling the wool over the wives' eyes, and some advice for the wives to detect these things.
Okay.
And I'm a male who right now is currently living out of his truck because he just destroyed his wife's credit score.
Oh.
And made her have to pay $10,000 to the credit card companies because due to some emotional situations on my part, we're not going to get into, I basically have been hiding the usage of some joint credit cards that she had put together with us.
Right.
And basically what happened is over that time I used those cards to buy tools or food for the house, gasoline, various sundries, nothing like flat screen TVs or anything like that, nothing particularly major. But for the ladies out there, one of the big deals is you really got to pay attention to your man. Mm-hmm. When we're saying things like, yeah, everything's fine, everything is okay, I'm going to take care of it, you really got to look at the guy. And you really got to see if he's really sincere.
Mm.
Because a lot of times when we get ourselves caught in the corner, we're not going to admit it to you. And, I mean, some of us do. But as a general rule, when we're thinking we're being a man and we're taking care of things, we're doing anything we can to just make life go on to the next day. And then you end up getting caught in this syndrome of sin and deceit and where you're basically not just screwing up your finances, you're screwing up yourself and your relationship with God. Mm. And you're no longer even liking yourself for what you do.
Right.
And you know you may even be bringing down your marriage, but you're still trying to keep it hidden. Now, my wife currently right now is talking to our pastor, and so am I. And she got this phone call from a credit card company or from a collection agency saying they're going to sue her. And then she called me going, what's going on? So basically, I end up going home and admitting everything, including past taxes that are due, money that I personally owe to a whole bunch of other people and a whole bunch of other businesses. Needless to say, the dear lady was livid, to put it most mildly. So I was kicked out of the house. I'm living out of my truck and getting more and more work that I can find because I do some independent work, as well as about 35 hours of standard Joe work. And basically, we're looking at needing transparency in the relationship. So, guys, you may think you're taking care of things and you're being manly, but unless you're really sharing with your spouse, you're really not sharing unless you're doing it. You gotta just stop what you're doing. Bite the bullet, even if you think she's going to leave you, she's going to castrate you or whatever. You gotta go through it.
Oh my!
You gotta take care of your relationship, because that's really more important than your ego. Your ego gets in the way. God takes care of your ego. You don't take care of your ego.
John, hold on 1 second. Thank you for sharing. I know Paul and Kenita would like to respond to all that you've said. Wow.
Hey, John, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm learning to get along.
Okay, that's good. What you said you spent over $10,000 with the credit card, right?
Right, two credit cards.
What were you spending your money on?
Well, I spent $1,500 on window repairs for the house, another $2,000 on supplies for the house because we're doing some renovation work. And, you know, the rest of it's gasoline, going out to dinner, buying groceries, paying other bills with the bills. There's no things like big computers and stuff. The big computer purchase on that car was $250.
Mm-hmm.
there's nothing major. It's really transparency. And what I want to let the ladies know, don't just let the guy take care of the money.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be fiscally responsible for your own money as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're not, you're doing yourself a disfavor. I know in the past, you know, the guys took care of all the money, but ladies, you're educated nowadays. You can learn the money just as well as the guy does. And frankly, believing that the guys know how to handle the money, it's just a social fallacy.
Okay.
All right. Hold on one second.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question. When you, because you're in the car right now,
right?
What do you think could have changed to prevent that from happening?
Not being afraid.
And just telling her, this is what I'm spending the money on, and this,
right.
is, and this is what I'm doing.
Because I entered the relationship without, see, she's a very fiscally responsible person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a non-fiscally responsible person. So as we entered into this relationship, it was not equally yoked. And that's one. Equally yoked isn't just your beliefs in God. Equally yoked is your beliefs in all that you do in life as well.
I agree.
And we were not connected financially in those beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I let my fear of losing her from the very beginning of doing things I shouldn't be doing with money to just cloud my judgment and being afraid. And because I love my wife very much and am very afraid of losing her, but at this point it's good that the transparency comes out because the burden is lifted from my soul.
Yeah.
It's not making our life good together. But yeah. Now, of course, I got to make restitution to my wife and I got to make good and I got to change and spend some time writing down an action plan of what I need to do
mm-hmm.
to make the relationship better and to work with our pastor who's counseling us to get through this particular yeah. rough period in our life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, John, really quick, I just appreciate your heart in you making this a time to help others. It's so true that I'm looking for the scriptures, you know, it says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. Mm-hmm. And I hear you saying, you know, it's not like you said, I didn't go buy the flat screen. I just kept using the credit card. And that is so true. You know, I've found where I'll go to pay. We pay our card off every month. But there have been months where I'm like, whoa, what happened? And it's, you know, Starbucks. It's the grocery store. It's Target. You know, it's Walmart, but
yeah.
all of those things over and over again, you know, the Bible says things can be permissible, but they may not be beneficial.
Yeah.
And I really just appreciate you, your humility and we will pray for you, John.
Thank you.
Because God's going to work in your transparency. And, but I do appreciate you being specific because I think a lot of us are entangled in that where it's like, I'm not going to Hawaii every year. I'm not, mm-hmm. but we're not being disciplined with the little things. And
right.
so I just wanted to, you know, bring that to the forefront.
And not even sharing with your spouse that, oh, dear, I just spent $1,200 to put storm windows on the house.
Right. Mm-hmm. That could have possibly waited. And so, yeah.
Hey, John, thank you so much for
no
calling
problem.
In. Thank you for sharing. I'm sure you've blessed a couple of people yeah. today who are like, wow.
Yes. I was just scanning through the stations, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
this really applies to me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening, sir, and have a fantastic day.
Have a blessed season. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Praise, Your Inspiration Station. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Paul and Kenita Smalls. We are talking about where did the money go, how money can play a part in the downfall of a relationship if there's too much spending going on. We're talking about issues and solutions. If you have either to share, you're invited to call 215-263-1039, also 1-877-995-7644. Catherine is on the line from South Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Am I on yet?
Yes, ma'am. You are live on the air.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I called, I heard so many interesting stories, and it just reminds me of the book that I just wrote. And can I mention that about?
Well, we don't want to give too many free plugs, but if you could really stick to, like, the essence of the book?
Well, the essence of the book is just like a previous caller. She was talking about how she, instead of going to get her hair done every 2 weeks, now it's every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cutting back, not using the charge cards. One of the stories I write about, or one of the things I write about in my book, is how during Christmas time, we always use the charge card. We go shopping, and we find an item that we want to buy, let's say, for Joe. Well, instead of saying we're going to spend only $20 on Joe, we'll go out here and buy Joe a $50 sweater. And it just gets us deeper and deeper into debt. And the thing that hurts me with the people that I talk to is that not only are you creating a mound of debt for yourself, but for your children as well. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair. Because at times we try to live above our means and not stay within our means, and even sometimes live below our means. And so I'm just wanting people to really educate themselves and take a look in the mirror and learn from the mistakes that other people are talking about and pass that wisdom on to your they won't be stuck in debt.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Catherine, thank you so much for sharing that. And what is the name of the book?
I'm sorry?
Yes, Catherine, what is the name of your book?
Uh-oh. You know what? I hate I had to dial in on my cell phone because I'm going through a bad area now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you anyway. We were just trying to find out the name of your book. But thank you for sharing that information, and thank you for listening to us this morning. All right. Have a wonderful day. Paul and Kenita, we're going to take a brief pause, and we're going to come back with more calls and more conversation about where did the money go? Marriage Beyond the Vows returns right after this.